Neville is the friend we've just phoned to get him on the line to have a chat about the US Open. First round action is currently underway at Winged Foot for the US Open, and great to have him a part of the team again this morning. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning. Yeah, speaking of blokes with no idea, right? You cross straight over.
Not at all, not at all. You would have got the answer right. That's why we know. That's why we come to you and ask you questions, because you've always got the right answer, sort of like Bryden. Now, what's happening round one action? Because we're seeing a lot of red numbers, Ben, which the forecast was coming into this that that wouldn't be happening too often.
Yeah, look, obviously US Opens are generally tough, and a US Open at Winged Foot is usually really tough. And we did have seven guys in the morning wave go under par, including Justin Thomas, 5-under. Really impressive start from him. The short answer to why is they had to set it up relatively easy today for a US Open standard, because they haven't got as much daylight as they usually have in summertime in the US. And we would not have finished if these guys had to have six-hour rounds. So they gave them a chance today. It'll be similar, not quite as easy, but a little bit easy-ish on Friday. They're getting a little bit of rain. They hope so. They'll keep it wet that way, or water it if they have to a little. And then they'll let the carnage ensue over the weekend. So they've basically just got to cut down to the half, to the cut, and then you'll see things get really tough again.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, that makes a bit of sense. So what's happened today? It looks as though that man who's just seemingly one of the most consistent players on tour has certainly enjoyed his first round. Justin Thomas leads all comers at the moment. 5-under 65 is a very nice way to start a US Open.
Yeah. Look, absolutely grand stuff from JT this morning. He was pretty clinical and never really looked like he was in too much danger and too much trouble. And that's hard to do in a US Open, even if they have a little bit of an easier setup. I was really impressed with that. Obviously, he's only one ahead of Patrick Reed, some people's favourite and some people's not-so-favourite golfer. He got there, though, with a hole-in-one, which is pretty impressive in any tournament, let alone a US Open. Excuse me, as the cart goes past, big truck. But, so those two sort of were really impressive. I think Reed obviously got the hole-in-one sort of spurred him on, and whether he keeps that up, we'll see tomorrow. But some big names at the top at the moment, because Rory's just two behind JT and one behind Reed as well. And, you know, maybe being a new dad has got him feeling kind of, put him in a good space.
And, Ben, what's going on with the Aussies? I believe they're under par at the moment.
Yes, not so good for the Aussie boys this morning, although, you know, as it is tough. It makes it look worse when those guys did go, you know, 4 and 5 under, but the morning wave at best was Scotty, I believe. Yeah, Scotty had a 1 over 71. He sort of went up and down a few times, had a chance to be a bit lower, but his putter just didn't quite cooperate on certain holes. Jason Day should have been much lower. He just had an awful double bogey on a relatively straightforward par 3, where he got in a bad lie, tried to be sort of a bit of a hero and ended up in another bad lie, tried to be a hero again and ended up down a false front and off the green, and ended up with that double. So he ended up 2 over. A little bit worse for wear, but hopefully can make a move back. And then we've got the guys all out at the moment. And in the afternoon wave, Lucas Herbert's the best so far with him and Cam Smith there. Just 1 over with 3 holes to play. Hopefully they can sort of get that finished. And Leash, his struggles have continued. 3 over through 15. Matty Jones also struggling at 5 over. So not really the greatest start for our boys, but still a little bit of hope for Scotty and Jace if they have a big Friday.
Have you spoke with Mark Leishman and just about his struggles and what he's trying to do to turn him around?
Yeah, look, the short answer is during the pandemic break over here, he did nothing except, like, in terms of golf. He spent a lot of the time with his family. He doesn't usually, like, grind out practice in practice range scenario. He, you know, he chips and putts around, but in terms of actual practice, he gets that in by playing golf, and during the pandemic, he didn't play any golf, and he didn't have any sort of, matches that he does against mates and other people in the area and whatnot, so he just got super rusty, and he's been trying to sort of dial it back in, but just hasn't been able to do it. And then I guess when you start pressing and you start pushing for things that aren't quite there, it gets even worse. So he's just got a few bad habits and hitches in the swing from the time off. His body shape changed just a little, which doesn't help when you're doing these things as well, and now he's just got to find a way to sort of fight through it, he said.
What's it like this US Open, Ben? I mean, there's no crowds, and I know we had the PGA a few weeks ago, but this is another step up again with the US Open, such a famous event. And also, will the course play differently because there are no crowds, because you haven't got crowds potentially trampling down the rough, or crowds potentially, you know, being hit and the ball going back out onto the fairway. Will that play a factor at all come the weekend?
I believe so. I think it's a huge factor across many, many reasons. I mean, a minute ago you guys could hear a truck in the background just going around the, delivering some food or something. Like, you'd never hear that. You'd hear fans everywhere. And also just the atmosphere of the place too. Like, now Colin Morikawa is an absolute star and he's going to be great, but I'm not sure he would have had the same finish at the PGA had there been thousands and thousands of fans screaming at every guy who was making a birdie down the stretch, given there were like 15 guys in contention at San Francisco. Same could be said here. Without that sort of energy, the guys that are up the top, usually the stars, sort of struggle to keep that going at times, and the guys that are sort of lesser known don't get as nervous. I feel like that's the case as well. You know, John Rahm, for instance, he's been world number one but hasn't won a major. The fact that there's no fans could help him when it comes down the stretch, because he won't be sort of reminded as much that he hasn't won one. And especially New York fans, who like to let people know everything. and then as far as the trampling down, as you said, like, that's absolutely the case. And sort of Bryson DeChambeau, for one, he said he's going to try to overpower, and he's been trying to do that a bit. He's playing well. He's 3-under through 12. But he's taking a risk trying to get the lies in the rough when he misses, because there are no fans, there are no trampled down areas, and so there's going to be more balls sink down rather than sort of sit up on patches. You know, there were a few times where guys were out in spots that normally would even have grandstands, things that would be in the way, so they'd get free relief. They're used to that sort of thing, just, you know, taking a hack at it, knowing that if it runs through the back of a green, they'll get a backstop. It's not there for them at the moment, so it definitely has changed things.
So, Wingfoot's in New York. For our listeners, explain how far away that is, say, from the middle of Manhattan, and also just the whole logistical situation with protocols and bio bubbles and all these sorts of things that we talk about in the world of sport. How is that in play this week for the US Open?
Well, I don't know the exact time it takes to get from Manhattan, but it's like, it's a good 45 minutes or whatever. Now, it's out on Long Island, obviously, we had it. I can't even pronounce this, the city they say that we're at. But yeah, like, it's a good effort to get out there. And the fact of the matter is, just like we have on tour every week, there's more people than you can imagine, even without fans and whatnot, that need to be in these scenarios. So New York was obviously a hotbed of the pandemic in the early days, but they've actually cracked down and done really well in that regard. There's certain protocols in place. The local media were able to sort of get out without an issue, whereas the guys coming in from elsewhere, we had to make sure we fit all sort of testing protocols, etc. The same with all players, caddies, anyone there has to have gone through testing, has to keep going through testing. Any type of sign of symptoms, you're being told you obviously have to front for more testing. They really sort of keep this thing rolling to make sure we don't run out of golf for people to watch, because, you know, sports are coming back around the world and everywhere, but without that sort of strict rules or whatever, it's only going to take one sort of outbreak somewhere to shut everything down. So it's very important that everyone keeps doing that. And, you know, it's funny, there was a young bloke who was leading the tournament earlier this morning, who, Davis Thompson is his name, and his old man is on the bag just so he can watch. You know, he's an amateur. And his old man took the spot because he can't come in as a family member. And apparently his mother is not very happy at all that dad gets a ticket in by being the caddy, but mum can't come in and watch.
Well, mum could always caddy. If she was fair dinkum, she'd offer to caddy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's on her a bit, that. Don't just sit there and just throw them from the cheap seats. You've got to do some work to get into these things these days. The forecast, you mentioned a bit of rain tomorrow, possibly. Benny, the forecast for the weekend, is it going to be decent conditions for golf, or will it become more difficult because of adverse weather climates?
Yeah, to be fair, guys, I didn't check the latest update, but what I had yesterday was that we might get some rain tonight. 40% chance was what they were telling us, late in the afternoon and overnight, and even maybe early in the morning, to essentially soften things up just a little for those guys in the morning tomorrow as well, which are the players that are out right now. But the wind is expected to be a little bit up too. And then over the weekend, we'll have sort of some reasonably fresh breezes and gusts, nothing over the top, but enough that when the course does get fast again and firm and the pins become that little bit more difficult, we will see the carnage that we're expected to see. Now, look, you know, can Justin Thomas stay where he is and even do better and whatnot, and possibly is good enough, but the majority of guys are going to have to put themselves in good shape for Saturday and Sunday if they want to keep there. And it's still very possible that even par could win this tournament.
Always great talking Major Championship Golf with you, Benny. You are always right. You get the quiz right all the time, I reckon, if we put you in a quiz situation. Good luck, mate. Have a great weekend. We look forward to hopefully chatting to you on Monday as it all comes to a close.
Yeah, no worries, boys. I'll be there. Whips cracking. Come to me anytime.
Anytime. I like that sort of stuff. Ben Everett with us, our PGA Tour correspondent there at Winged Foot.